Okay, here we go. Hi, this is Bob Hartman.
And John Schlitt of Petra, and you're listening to Wild Man and Steve.
You are about to listen to the intersection of faith, talk, and music. The Wild Man and Steve Show starts right now.
So, Steve, coming up now, almost 4 years of doing this show, and we talked before about how, before the show started tonight, actually, about how I finally broke the news to you that you were not the Steve Perkins that I thought you were when I asked you to be on this show. And after almost 4 years, I finally broke it to you that I was looking for the drummer of Jane's Addiction, Steve Perkins, and it wasn't you, but I didn't want to make you feel bad at that time. So I went ahead and stayed with you this long.
You obviously traded up. I mean, seriously, I mean, a drummer for a well-known rock and roll band or a high school Latin teacher. I mean, seriously, I don't even think it is a choice. You got the better deal with me.
The better deal.
Okay. Oh, absolutely.
You know, you saying deal does remind me of a quick story. Now, this isn't going to be long, so don't worry. Nobody panic here, but just a quick story. So we were on vacation as a family, and we were out at the shore, and my wife decided to order some takeout one night because, you know, that's what you do when you're on vacation. You don't care about what you eat. You just eat whatever. And this is what she did. She ordered liver and onions, and I can't stand liver and onions, but she ordered it, and she had them bring it. And it comes, and she thanks him, and she opens up the box, and it's just the onions. And she goes, "What do I do with this?" And I said, "It's okay. Let me call. I'll figure it out." So I get on the phone, and I call the place and talk to him a little bit. I hang up. I said, "Oh, I figured it out." She goes, "Well, what's the problem?" I said, "Well, they said you wanted it delivered."
Oh, and that, folks, is truly the last episode of the Wild Man and Steve Show. It's very rare that you get to be a witness to a train wreck. A lot of people see the wreckage after the event, but no, folks, you just witnessed an actual train wreck. Wow. How long had you been saving that one? I'm just curious.
Oh, you know, I mean, I've been saving that for a lot. I mean, and ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that this is the first time you've heard us, especially in these openings, that's about what, Steve, after all the episodes we've done together, over close to 300 episodes, I think about 297 of them have been your same response every time of saying this is the last episode of the Wild Man and Steve Show.
You know, this is true. You're always doing something that makes me want to quit.
And then you keep coming back. Why is that? And you're not even the real Steve Perkins. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, rank that opening at Wild Man and Steve, hashtag Wild Man and Steve, 1 being the best and 10 being the best.
Steve, what do you think?
Wild Man, all I can say is, wow. So this is where the magic happens.
Yes, it is. Can you believe it? Wild Man and Steve, finally on live radio.
Classic Christian rock radio, that is.
Exactly. Hey, come over here. Let me show you this.
Okay.
What do you think?
This is a broom closet?
You might see a broom closet. Buddy, this is your future office.
You're kidding.
Nope. The station manager posted the plans over here on the wall. Take a look at what this broom closet will be after the remodeling is done.
Dude, this is awesome. My own office.
Yep. Isn't it great? Hey, I gotta take a call. Excuse me for a second, okay?
Oh, sure. I can't believe this. The plans for my office look great. Hey, Wild Man, I think you accidentally locked me in here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wild Man Show.
Wild Man, come on. Now, this isn't funny. Wild Man. Listen to the Wild Man Show every Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. His show includes classic Christian rock and metal bands, as well as current bands with that great classic rock sound. It may also include me occasionally, if he ever lets me out. Hey, Wild Man, come on!
And now is the time of the episode. Anybody who listens to the show regularly knows this is when everybody's on the edge of their seat waiting to hear, because this is the time of the show where I turn it over to Mr. Segway, Mr. Steve Perkins, Latin teacher, rock and metal enthusiast, whom Brian Duncan said was quite the incongruity. And Steve always does a great job of being Mr. Segway, of segueing our guest. And I cannot wait to hear what segue he came up with tonight for our tremendous guests we have.
Well, you know, I give some thought to our show. And I've been thinking that we might need to change the name. You and I go round and round. You don't want even my name on the logo. Quite frankly, I don't want yours either. And so I thought, you know what, we need to just come up with a whole new name. And I thought, given the fact that we really, with the artists, we go deep, right? We really take a look deep inside the music. It's almost like we're going through a medical procedure, right? And we're just like X-raying what's going on and kind of getting inside. And so I thought a cool name for us, we might just call ourselves the X-Ray Men. What would you think of that? Would that be good? Would that be a good name?
You know, Mr. Segway strikes again. He does it again. Wasn't that just a tremendous segue? And now let me ask you this about you. You were asking how long did I sit on that joke earlier? How long did you sit on that segue, Mr. Segway?
You know, I got to be honest, probably about 3 or 4 hours. I was thinking about that this afternoon.
Wow. Well, as usual, you struck again. So, ladies and gentlemen, it does give us honor to welcome to the program the X-Ray Men with their latest debut single called Bobby's Gone Too Far. Gentlemen, how are you doing? And welcome to the program.
Thank you. Doing well.
Thanks for having us. We really appreciate you guys having us.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, so we have Ray and Mark. You guys have been on before. So you guys can just be quiet this whole episode. You don't need to say anything.
We survived.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But let's go ahead. I want to start with Chip. Okay. So Chip, I've been following you on Twitter for some time, and I am excited to have you on here. And my understanding is you wrote the lyrics for this song, Bobby's Gone Too Far?
Yeah, that would be true. Yes, sir.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about your motivation for writing, because I think all of us on here know that you have a creative ability when it comes to your writing style, where you're able to throw humor in, you're able to throw a lot of things in with the rockabilly style. You're the one that got me into, let me know what that style was even called, was rockabilly. So just give us a little bit of background of your writing style and how the lyrics came about for this particular song.
Sure. Okay. Well, you know, no writing style is right or wrong. Everybody's got their different ones. Mine can come from two different seeds. One would be hearing a riff or a bass line in my head. In the case of this, Ray had sent me a couple riffs to choose from, and because we were considering doing a song together, and he sent a couple real bang up riffs, and one of the two riffs really spoke to me, and it was the seeds of a song. Sometimes I'll be just driving along, and just a cool hook, like a lyrical hook, will occur to me in my head, and I think I need to write a song around that. So. There really is no one way that it happens, to be honest. But in this case, it was very much riff based, and I'll tell you the riff that he sent me, it just it had a tone and a feel to it that said, "Hey, there's a story here," and the story pretty much unfolded just by hearing that riff that he had written, and so I was very grateful for that, because that kicked my butt into another song, and that's. That's what feeds my soul.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So can you speak to anything about Bobby and where this came from, where the storyline came from?
Sure. Bobby, it's not any one specific person, but I think we can all think back to especially high school and just out of high school. You know, there was always that kid that, was a little bit of a bully or kind of rough around the edges. And, you know, you come to find out he had probably a little rough upbringing, and catch up a few years later and you might see his name in the paper, and, you know, he's either in jail or he's been arrested. And, even a guy that's trying to get it together, when you've got a tough background, things can go sideways on you. And we all know a Bobby in our life, I'm sure of it. And so that's where it came from. It's just a story, nothing that actually happened, but probably close to something that actually happened several times here in our country. But there's Bobby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I gotta say, I like a good story song, and you know, songs come in so many different flavors in terms of lyrics. Some are, you know, really trying to deliver some sort of message. Some are very, the guy to the girl trying to woo the girl, or whatever, a love song. But then you get those really great story songs. So many great story songs in country music. But then I also think about some really great stories in, with Elton John and Bernie Taupin, their stuff. I think about Billy Joel, some of the really great story songs. And this to me is a great story song. But what I really liked what you were saying about how you could listen to maybe the riff that Ray sent you, or you hear a hook on the radio, it kind of takes you to a place, and suddenly there's a story that starts developing. And I think it's neat to hear that from the songwriter's perspective, because I think the listener, we also get that when we listen to certain songs, certain music, it takes us to a place. And probably everybody who's listened to this song, while there is that particular story in the lyrics, at the same time, we're inventing our own imagery, right? We've got a picture of Bobby in our mind and kind of how that played out. So it's just kind of neat to see that on both ends.
That's what you hope happens. You hope that people use their own imagination and get their own interpretation, because then it's going to mean something to them. And that's what you want, right? Yeah. We want it to mean something.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that's how music resonates with most of us, right? It takes us someplace. Was it Tom Petty said it's the one true piece of magic left in the world?
Yeah, exactly. Mark.
Absolutely. And, all of us, well, I'm not sure. I'm not going to speak about ages here, because I will say, Matt, you do look a little on the younger side of maybe some of the rest of us here. But, you remember when MTV
Steve's
first
older
came
than
out.
Me, by the way. Steve's older than me.
Yes, I am the more mature one.
We were having an X-Frame in chat on Twitter, a little private message, and we were all blown away when Matt revealed his true age to us.
Yeah, so, okay. Don't say it, Matt. We don't want to be blown away.
That's a secret.
It's a secret. It's top secret. It's top secret.
It's not past his bedtime, right? I mean, that's what...
we're getting there. We're getting there.
Well, before we go any further, I just thought about this. We should do this. So if everybody, first of all, could just go around and introduce yourself and specifically what role you had in this production of this song. So let's start with Ray. Go ahead, Ray.
Basically, as Chip said, he had actually reached out to me and asked if I'd be interested in working with him on something. And of course, yes. And I had a few riffs, and all of us come up with stuff all of the time, and most of it gets put away and probably not used. But I had a couple that I liked, but I couldn't do anything with them. So and he picked the one I was hoping he was going to pick, so I was happy about that. So my role was basically get the basic guitars down, and then I ended up doing some mixing, and Mark helped out a lot with the video, and everybody contributed a lot. Matte did all the artwork that's behind you. He came up with that, and as well as his playing. But basically my role was just kind of managing the audio and video end of it.
He got to be the coach.
Okay. All right. So, Matt, what about your role?
Yeah, I'm pretty much just bass on this one. Everybody else is so good. I just had to come in and do my one thing real fast and get out of there.
Okay. All right, Mark.
I just hit things with sticks, man. That's all I do.
It's therapy for you, right?
You know it. So no, it was a fun tune to play on, and I heard it with obviously a lot of the music. Actually, I think all the music was done really for the most part, or at least the rough tracks. And the way Chip was doing his cadence, it just really kind of dictated to me how I wanted to play the drums, actually, which is how I do my own stuff. So I kind of played off of his vocals, which sounds weird. Most people would think he'd play off of another instrument, but I actually tried to play the drums based off of Chip's vocals.
Okay. And Chip, talk to us about what you specifically did in the production of the song itself.
Oh, okay. Well, as far as what I did specifically, I sang the song, found a harmony to sing for it as well. I was hoping that we could get a female harmony on it, because in my head that sounded like something that would really be good, but we must be all kind of a bunch of losers in the female department. None of us could folks went into working with us. So and then I, you know, I added some slide guitar on there. Yes, which was fun. Yes. For me, I don't get to do that very often, but this song felt like it had some in it. And then we had to end the song some way, and again, just in my head, I heard a little Chuck Berry riff, and you know, I only know about 8 riffs, and so I just kind of moved those around and into something new, and that ended the song. And then I just, you know, I just trust these guys. You know, that I'm so grateful that they're to be connected to them in this fashion, and they're just such talents that I can't wait to hear what they add when that song goes out. The other collaborations we've done, you know, I send it, and I really don't give specific instructions, and I don't know if Ray does either, but these guys just have an intuition and a feel. They know what to do, and it comes back, and it's just like every time a new rough mix came to me with another layer in there, it was like Christmas morning, and you know, that's a great feeling, and that's one of the reasons we do this. You know, it's just that that feeling we get working with each other, and you seeing, you know, what's about to happen tomorrow, you know, and it was a real pleasure. You know, these guys know how to do it. They're pros.
I want to throw a question out based on what you were just saying there in terms of, hey, it felt like maybe a little slide guitar would be good here. Felt a little Chuck Berry here. We'll throw a little bit of that in. And as I was hearing you talk like that, the image that came to mind for me was cooking. And I want to ask all you guys, you can weigh in on the question, how appropriate is that as a metaphor? And here's where I'm going with that. I think of the way my wife cooks. I think the way, especially her dad cooked, and she got some things, I think, from him, in that they just know what certain ingredients taste like. And so as they're getting ready to make something, they're like, ooh, I think maybe a little oregano would be good here, right? Let's add a dash of this, because they know what individual ingredients taste like, and they know what certain ingredients would taste like combined. Boy, it sure feels like that from just what you said. And so my question is, how apt a metaphor would that be for how you guys approach creating music?
Well, I can only speak for this particular song with these guys on this one, but it was really interesting and really joyous and really fun, because when we started out, we didn't know what it was going to be. You know, it wasn't like we had it all laid out. Songs can unfold themselves, and they will reveal what they need. That's why Chip brilliantly added that slide guitar, because it was so perfect to the vibe. So as you bring in a layer, it will come to you what else needs to be there if something else does. You know, when you collaborate with other people, it's good to start out with something that's kind of simple, which this was, because you can go so many different directions. And we had talked about that a little bit. That was the initial thing with the cooking. Okay, do we want to go AC/DC, or do we want to go Tom Petty, or Right, Chip? We kind of discussed a little bit which way very we want to go. So, yeah. And it ends up we did neither. I think we, you know, we did John Mellencamp or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You know, that's the fun of it. What's going to, like he said, what's going to happen? What's going to come back? You know, you don't always know. And then you're surprised when it does.
Yeah, and I think in the age of internet recording, obviously, and especially with us all being scattered to the different corners of the U.S., it adds that little element, too, because it's not like you're jamming in the same room and you kind of, like if I was watching Matt play bass and I start thinking, okay, I'm going to play the drums a little bit differently. So you're going to react to the track and how you're going to react because you don't have any live stimulus, right? So you get your own, to your point, you get to put your own pinch of this and a dab of that, you know?
How do you like that? How do you guys like that in terms of, you're talking about the internet recording, and we certainly talked about that particular aspect of recording with other guests. Good, bad, ugly in terms of the doing things separately over the internet versus the everybody in the room. You know, Beatles all go to Abbey Road and work together.
I mean, they both have merits. I mean, you can't beat playing live with guys, right? Or folks, no. Right? That's great. Certainly fantastic, but at the same time, these, you know, when you meet people that are just really good people that you like to work with, and I can't, I mean, I don't want to fly to Montana to jam with Chip. It'd be cool, but but you know, just it's not always practical, right? So in that respect, it's fantastic, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a neat thing to do it this way, because you know, I think most of us, you know, we work regular jobs. We're busy all day, and this type of you know, song creation makes this possible for people that are busy working guys. You know, I could come home and eat dinner and then head into my room where my middle son, who lives here and is wonderful at helping me do this, you know, he does all my recording and engineering for me, and you know, I can pop into his room and we can record a vocal track and send it off to Ray, and he doesn't have to jump on it right away. He can do it when he gets that little sliver of time. And so we get the pleasure of making this music without having to disrupt our busy lives too greatly. And that said, I would love to get in the room with these guys and spend a week just recording and probably have a ton of laughs and probably come up with some great stuff in that method of recording and playing as well.
Well, I'm working on that too. So I'm trying to get these guys to come out to my studio. So if they'll fly out here and see me, we'll have good fun.
Yeah, I've been watching, Mark, the steps of that studio being built. Is that completed now?
Yeah, it's all done. It's all done. Yeah, you can see part of it behind me here on the camera. Wow. But be fun. You know, Ray and I have known each other for many moons. So it would be
longer than he wants to admit.
Longer than I want, yeah. But we were joking one day, and I was like, "Y'all should just come out here sometime for like a weekend, and you know, and just hang out for 3-4 days, and got plenty of space, and we'll just create something, see what happens."
Yeah. Now, all of you met, I'm assuming, all of you, well, other than Mark and Ray, your connections with Matt and Chip only came through Twitter.
That's correct.
That's right.
Yeah, correct.
Should I say X? It's X now. It's not Twitter anymore.
I think the important thing to note about that, though, is it came about because I love their music.
Mm.
We were all fans of each other's music.
Yeah,
I'm fans of every one of these guys. I listen to all their music, you know, not just stuff that we do together every week.
Yeah,
I'm constantly I'm cutting the lawn to Mark's 50 album.
Yeah.
Ghost of a Chance for Mate, or How Lucky Am I? I could go on and on. These guys are brilliant. And so it's just an honor and a pleasure to get to mix it up with them, you know, and see what happens.
Well, I think that's amazing because, you know, as much as I bust on Steve and I met through Twitter also. And I met all of you guys through Twitter. That if it wasn't, and I remember the whole Twitterberries thing we did, and I had a small part in that last year. That's exciting to see. And I want all of you to talk about this one. We'll start with Matt because, you know, he's been kind of quiet so far, but just want to ask about what is your take on the indie artist community amongst Twitter?
Yeah, it's pretty great. Sorry, I am super introverted. I don't know if anybody knew that before, but it is
that's because you read all those books behind you. That's
true.
The problem.
I do. it's, you know, when during COVID, it seemed to like it kind of blew up, and yeah, it was like so easy to find, especially these guys. But lots of other artists too. It's gotten quieter, I think, since then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I mean, how else do you find music nowadays that you like? It's the best way.
Mm. Yeah.
And that facilitated the name change too a little bit. You just mentioned that Wild Man about the Twitterberry. That was a joke, obviously, because, you know, hanging out on Twitter. And so when they changed the name, I think Chip got the idea. I think maybe, I'm not sure about that one. You have to ask those guys.
Yep.
Yeah, I want to hear more about that.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys were left in the dark on that, huh? They didn't even get your approval, did they?
Matt and I are the rhythm section. We were just told this is what's happening.
I'm the bass player. Nobody tells me.
They were just like, it's just the drummer and the bass player. Just tell them what to do.
They just fit the suit. Just get them in here. We'll get them done.
Yeah.
That's, I didn't so even not record true. My part.
All right. So, Chip and Ray, take that. Talk about your experience with X and indie artists, indie musicians, and plus what you did as far as the name of X-Ray. Because the first thing I thought of was Ray's ex-girlfriend when I saw X-Ray. So I don't know.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chip. Let's see. Well, as far as the indie artist thing, certainly Twitter or X, as it were, it has been great for me. As far as connecting with other musicians and hearing music that I otherwise wouldn't have, a lot of that has happened through. It started with, I think, how I met Matt was I had submitted a song of mine to some guy that was calling himself a music reviewer, and I thought, well, let's just see what this guy thinks of my song. And then I happened to notice, Matt's band had put a song on there as well. And I just listened to it, thought, if I'm going to want people supporting my music, I better reach out and listen to theirs as well. And I was just knocked out by this song. I think it was called Waiting for You. It had a video. And I was like, wow, this is great. And I made some positive comments, which I think is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And he, likewise, thanked me for those comments. And I think that's how he listened to my music. And so we had kind of connected through that. And I think that's probably how we wound up getting mapped to Ray. And then, likewise then to Mark. And so it's just been, organic, but wonderful. And these guys all kind of buy into the whole, let's keep this positive. And, if you don't have something nice to say, maybe just keep your trap shut. And I think that's the way people should comport themselves. And that has worked out well. As far as the X-Ray Man thing, Ray and I got to talk and we thought, well, this isn't really a Twitterberries thing. It's not, kind of dad rock as much. And we weren't involving all of the same guys. We wanted to respect that those guys weren't there. And we may do another Twitterberries thing in the future, but that would mean we're going to get everybody, the original guys involved in that. Mm-hmm. So we kind of bounced some ideas around, and I was looking at Ray's new moniker there, the X-Ray, and I thought, that's pretty cool. We got to do something with that, X has just got all kinds of possibilities, and so do Ray's. And I think it popped into my head and I said, how about this? And, he was on board with that too. So
yeah. My whole part of that was, I said, yes.
Well, you changed your name too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good thing you changed
just
your name
like a producer, right? He just says yes or no.
and Matte talks about he's introverted. I can tell you because I see all the footage. He's not on tape. If he's filming a music video, he's not introverted. He's very animated, and it's awesome.
Very true.
I mean, his feet leave the ground. Bad things happen if my feet leave the ground.
You know? Yeah.
He's very good at it, you know.
Oh, thank you. So,
well, yeah, I mean, I remember that slide, though, you did years ago, though, Ray. You know, the slide.
Yeah, 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
What could happen in 50 years, right?
I can slide right to the ER. That's what can happen.
Well, you know, to what you said, I believe it was Chris Turner from Texas, who I also met on Twitter. He's a podcaster down in Texas, and he commented on the Twitterberry song after we posted it. And he said, I don't know if Matt, if you remember, but he pointed Matt out and he said, you were the smoothest looking one
on the
video.
No doubt.
And that was true because he was. He's sitting there in the groove playing the bass, you know, and the rest of us old guys were trying to look cool, you know.
Yeah, that's one of his biggest contributions, is making all of us look better.
Yes.
that's he will always be there. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's something amazing that we're talking with the whole idea of what you said, Chip, about the positive side of things, because as we know, Twitter, X as it is now, can be full of sludge.
Social media in general, right?
Yeah. It can really, I mean, I've seen stuff where people will post a blog or they'll post something that they did, you know, something they wrote, whether it's a song or a blog or artwork or something like that. And you'll get mostly positive comments, but then somebody will just jump in and decide they know better than everybody and just blast the person. So I'm encouraged, and I've been encouraged, and I've tweeted this out or X'd this out. I don't know what you call it now, several times that on this platform, if you're an indie artist, for the most part, you put out there, hey, I'm an indie artist, here's my track, you get encouragement usually. Yeah, usually, right. Other indie artists are there to help you. They're not there to harm you, which I think is a encouraging place. And I don't know that it's ever been advertised that this is the place for indie artists, because honestly, I can't think of a better place.
Yeah, that's
great. Indie artists to share their creativity.
Next week, the dynamic duo returns.
We will return with Wildman and Steve and the rest of the interview with the X-Ray Man. You don't want to miss it. Same Wildman and Steve time, same Wildman and Steve channel.
The Wildman and Steve Show is now partnering with New Release Today. Find out more about them at newreleasetoday.com. And don't forget to check out our website, where you can also leave us a review at wildmanandsteve.com.
Sounds like rock and roll to me.